56 million African children annually. WHO's use of DTP as its bellwether vaccine to measure national compliance with WHO's vaccine schedule has made DTP today the most popular vaccine on Earth. Health ministries across the world must demonstrate specific uptake goals with the DTP recommendations in order to qualify for vital WHO assistance for HIV and other support. Prior to 2017, neither HHS nor WHO performed the kind of study necessary to ascertain whether the DTP vaccine was actually yielding the beneficial health outcomes about which Gates frequently boasts. That year, the Danish government and the Scandinavian vaccine behemoths Statens Serum Institute and Novo Nordisk commissioned prominent Scandinavian scientists Søren Mogensen and Peter Abbey, both vocal champions of the African vaccine program, to lead an illustrious team of international researchers to examine all-cause mortalities after the DTP inoculations. That massive study put the lie to Gates's mantric incantation that his investment in the DTP vaccine has saved millions of lives. In June 2017, the team published a peer-reviewed study in eBiomedicine, a high-gravitas journal in Elsevier's publishing house Armada. The article parsed data from a so-called natural experiment in Guinea-Bissau, where half the children in certain age groups were vaccinated and the other half were not. The division was randomized. That 2017 study, Mogensen et al. 2017, shows that following their DTP immunization at 3 months, vaccinated girls had tenfold higher mortality than unvaccinated children. The girls were dying of a wide range of diseases: pneumonia, anemia, malaria, dysentery. And for 2 decades, no one noticed that the dying children were predominantly those who received the vaccine. The DTP vaccine, while protecting children against diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, had ruined their immune systems, making them vulnerable to a wide range of deadly non-target infections. Mogensen's team arrived at that conclusion, as had the 1977 Lancet study researchers exactly 40 years earlier. DTP vaccine may kill more children from other causes than it saves from diphtheria, tetanus, or pertussis. In other words, Gates's DTP vaccine, instead of saving 10 million lives as he claims, may have unnecessarily killed millions of African girls. At least 7 other studies have confirmed DTP's association with high mortality in vaccinated girls compared to unvaccinated. The idealistic Americans who donated to Gates's African Vaccine Project, believing they were saving African babies, were actually funding a continent-wide female genocide. After completing the study and verifying its shocking results, Peter Abbey, a virtual deity among African vaccine researchers, made an impassioned and remorseful plea to the WHO to reconsider the DTP vaccine. "I guess most of you think that we know what our vaccines are doing," he said. "We don't." Gates, WHO, and Gavi ignored Abbey's appeal and redoubled their efforts to expand DTP vaccinations and to shore up support for the girl-killing jab. The Lancet published a commentary by Gates Foundation plenipotentiary Chris Elias, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and 3 apparatchiks from lesser Gates-funded consortia: WHO's Margaret Chan, UNICEF's director Anthony Lake, and Seth Berkley of Gavi, who portray their deadly African DTP program as a public health triumph. These charlatans proclaimed DTP as one of the bright spots in global well-being and gasconaded that more children are being immunized worldwide than ever before, with the highest level of routine coverage in history, as measured by coverage of 3 doses of the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, DTP-containing vaccine That project also involved reputationally demoting Abiy with a defamation campaign. A subsequent expert review by the founder of the Cochrane Collaborative, Peter Gotcha, condemned the WHO's attempt to downplay the risks of DTP vaccine. The WHO, he observed, had been dismissive of studies finding detrimental nonspecific effects for the DTP vaccine, while accepting studies finding beneficial nonspecific effects for the measles vaccine. The WHO is inconsistent and biased toward positive effects of vaccines. When a result pleases the WHO, it can be accepted, but not when a result does not please the WHO. Gotcha found the studies by Mogensen and Abiy superior in every respect to the Gates-generated Lancet study. Gates and his WHO vassals continue to bully African nations into taking their lethal DTP vaccines by threatening to withdraw financial aid to their health departments and HIV programs if the government fails to achieve national uptake targets of 90%. Mercury Rising. Many vaccines shipped to underdeveloped countries, including the hepatitis B, Haemophilus influenzae type B, and DTP inoculations, contain bolus doses of the mercury-based preservative and adjuvant thimerosal. The immunity provisions of the 1986 Vaccine Act gave a blank check to U.S. pharmaceutical companies to promote the most shoddily tested vaccines without consequences or cost. Pharma responded with a gold rush to add new lucrative vaccines to the schedule, and by 1991, mercury exposures to U.S. children from the vaccine preservative thimerosal had more than doubled. Parents, physicians, and researchers blamed a subsequent explosion of neurological and autoimmune disease on thimerosal. Alarmed at the exploding epidemics of neurodevelopmental, allergic, and autoimmune diseases in children that began in 1986, CDC commenced in 1999 an in-house study of the vast repository of health and vaccination data from the 10 largest HMOs stored in the Vaccine Safety Data Link, VSD. A specially assembled CDC research team, led by Belgian epidemiologist Thomas Verstraeten, compared health outcomes in hundreds of thousands of vaccinated versus unvaccinated children. The raw data from CDC's 1999 Verstraeten study showed that children who took thimerosal-containing hepatitis B vaccines in their first 30 days suffered an astonishing 1,135% higher rate of autism than children who did not. Verstraeten also documented a grim inventory of other neurological injuries, including ADD, ADHD, speech and language delays, tics, and sleep disorders in children exposed to thimerosal. Verstraeten reported that these shocking signals prompted him to review for the first time the published medical literature, where he confirmed the alarming toxicity of mercury, thimerosal, to cause these injuries was biologically plausible. Overwhelming science, over 450 studies by then attested to thimerosal's devastating toxicity. Because testosterone amplifies the neurotoxicity of the mercury molecule, boys disproportionately suffered reduced IQ and a range of developmental disorders, ADD, ADHD, speech delay, tics, Tourette's syndrome, narcolepsy, ASD, and autism following exposure to ethylmercury in thimerosal. Numerous studies link thimerosal to miscarriage and sudden infant death. There is simply no study ever published that demonstrates thimerosal's safety. In 2017, Robert De Niro and I hosted a packed press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. We offered a $100,000 reward to anyone who could point to such a study. A prestigious group of scientists, including UCLA Fielding School Emeritus Professor of Epidemiology and Statistics, Dr. Sander Greenland, toxicologist and past director of the Environmental Toxicology Program at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, Dr. George Lucier, and Dr. Bruce Lanfear of Simon Fraser University and British Columbia Children's Hospital, agreed to judge the study. There were no takers. In 2001, the Institute of Medicine recommended thimerosal's removal from all pediatric vaccines. In accordance with the IOM recommendation, manufacturers removed thimerosal from childhood vaccines, Hib, hepatitis B, and DTP, except multi-dose flu vaccines in the United States beginning in 2001. Japan and the European governments had already dramatically reduced mercury levels in their vaccines as early as 1993. The European and U.S. bans left pharma struggling to unload stocks and find new ways to monetize stranded assets, the hundreds of millions in production facilities committed to mercury-based vaccines. Bill Gates came to pharma's rescue. Gates helped pharmaceutical companies unload their thimerosal inventories by dumping them in developing countries. Merck, with the help of Bill Gates and Gavi, brokered a deal to donate, dump, 1 million doses of their thimerosal-containing Recombivax HB hepatitis B vaccine to the Millennium Vaccine Initiative to African countries. The White House hailed Gates' corporate welfare initiative as an unprecedented level of corporate support in a press release issued March 3, 2000. Despite the discontinuance in Western nations, Bill Gates and WHO continue to use their power to force African children to submit to a battery of potentially dangerous mercury-laced pediatric vaccines. Strong evidence suggests that African boys with higher testosterone and chronic vitamin D deficiencies are far more vulnerable to vaccine and thimerosal injury than whites. When it comes to pharma profits, dead and brain-damaged African babies are merely collateral damage. In 2012, Dr. Fauci waxed philosophical when a reporter asked him to describe an example of one of his useful collaborations with Gates. Perhaps, he speculated, NIAID would work with Gates and Gavi on a project to remove thimerosal from African vaccines. What is used now is thimerosal, which is frowned upon because of concerns of mercury. So Seth Berkley, Gates's Gavi director, and I were talking about finding a preservative for these multi-dose vials without thimerosal, so we no longer would have the baggage associated with it. By baggage, he apparently meant the millions of neurologically injured African children. There is no evidence that this particular collaboration survived its stillbirth as a hypothetical reverie. 8 years later, Africans are still carrying that toxic baggage. It's a crushing, often mortal, load. Lethal malaria vaccine experiments. Malaria claims some 655,000 lives annually, mostly African children aged under 5. In 2010, the Gates Foundation funded with $300 million a Phase 3 trial of GlaxoSmithKline's experimental malaria vaccine, Mosquirix, in 7 African countries, aimed at young children because their immune system is still developing. GlaxoSmithKline contributed $500 million. NIAID contributed tens of millions in a battery of grants. Lesser funders included USAID, CDC, and Wellcome Trust. Gates is heavily invested in GSK. Apparently suspecting the vaccine might be lethal, Gates's team elected not to test it against a placebo. They used instead highly reactogenic meningitis and rabies vaccines that themselves were never tested against a placebo. The meningitis jab was famous for causing alarming numbers of injuries and deaths. The use of a reactogenic placebo, a so-called faux-sibo, is a deliberately fraudulent gimmick that unscrupulous vaccine companies deploy to mask injuries in the study cohort by purposefully inducing injuries among the placebo cohort. Clinical trials that omit true inert placebos marketing masquerading as science. Some 151 African infants died in the trial, and 1,048 of the 5,049 babies suffered serious adverse effects in both control and study groups, including paralysis, seizure, and febrile convulsions. Eager to secure the WHO approval necessary to license GSK's vaccine for global distribution, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation brushed aside the lethal outcomes of these experiments, declaring the trial a mild disappointment, but vowing to press on with the project, casualties be damned. The efficacy came back lower than we had hoped, but developing a vaccine against a parasite is a very hard thing to do. The trial is continuing, and we look forward to getting more data to help determine whether and how to deploy this vaccine. He demonstrated his resolve by donating an additional $200 million to finance more defective GSK research. Even with Gates's generous grubstake, GSK's crooked clinical trial researchers could only muster a feeble claim of 30% efficacy for their infanticidal jab. Undaunted, Gates rolled out Mosquirix in 2019 as the first malaria vaccine in sub-Saharan Africa. It turned out to be another Genocide for Girls project. According to the publication Science, Mosquirix's efficacy and durability are mediocre. Four doses offer only 30% protection against severe malaria for no more than 4 years. The biggest concerns, however, are about the vaccine's safety. BMJ's associate editor, Dr. Peter Doshi, points out, these were a rate of meningitis in those receiving Mosquirix 10 times that of those who did not, increased cerebral malaria cases, and a doubling in the risk of death from any cause in girls. Dr. Doshi says WHO's malaria vaccine study represents a serious breach of international ethical standards. The demonstrated risk worried WHO so much that it retreated from its plan to roll out the vaccine across Africa in favor of smaller pilot programs in Malawi, Ghana, and Kenya that will administer the vaccine to hundreds of thousands of children instead of the 100 million that BMGF had hoped for. Virologists and academics around the world kept mum about Gates's Mosquirix deaths. Gates's plump purse, his impeccable connections, his power over the virology cartel, and the weakness and needs of African governments once again insulated him from the consequences of all these dead children, with the exception of Dr. Doshi. Lethal meningitis vaccine experiments. In 2010, Gates funded a Menafrovac campaign in sub-Saharan Africa. Gates operatives forcibly vaccinated thousands of African children against meningitis, causing approximately 50 of 500 vaccinated children to develop paralysis. Citing additional abuses, South African newspapers declared, "We are guinea pigs for the drug makers." Professor Patrick Bond, a political economist who served in Nelson Mandela's South African government, describes Gates's unseemly business, philanthropic practices, and the agenda of the Gates Foundation as ruthless and immoral. Population and sterilization vaccines. Early 20th century America saw the snowballing popularity of eugenics, a racist pseudoscience that aspired to eliminate human beings deemed unfit in favor of the Nordic stereotypes. 27 state governments enshrined elements of the philosophy as official policy by enacting forced sterilization and segregation laws and marriage restrictions. In 1909, California became the third state to adopt laws requiring sterilization of intellectually challenged Americans. Ultimately, eugenics practitioners coercively sterilized some 60,000 Americans. John D. Rockefeller Jr.'s keen interest in eugenics colored his passion for population control. The oil baron Scion joined the American Eugenics Society and served as trustee of the Bureau of Social Hygiene. The Rockefeller Foundation dispatched hefty donations in the 1920s and early 30s to hundreds of German researchers, including those conducting Hitler's notorious twins studies at the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for